Bechoros, Perek Ches, Mishniyot, Eitem. We're wrapping up the Perek here, and really we're leaving the halachas of Bechor behind. The last thing this Mishnah is talking about here in this Perek is really halachas of Stei Achuza. Stei Achuza is an ancestral plot. The land of Israel was divided up essentially into agricultural plots in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun and the apportionment of the land. And the halach is that those, loosely speaking, those apportionments stay within the various Shvatim, the tribes. And if the Torah says that if a person sells his ancestral plot, so then when the Yovel year comes around, every 50 years, then the Stei Achuza goes back to its original owners, that family. The Pasuk says, Ki yamuch achicha, if a person just becomes, your brother becomes destitute, umachar me'achuza, so when he then therefore is forced to sell his ancestral plots. The Pasuk goes on to say, V'ya mimkaro biyad hakona oso, the one who purchased it will keep that ancestral plot, ad shnasa yovel, until the yovel year. But then, v'yatsa b'yovel v'shav l'chuzaso, at that point in yovel, it goes back to the original owner as part of his ancestral plot. So there's sort of a hard reset in terms of ancestral lands when yovel comes around. Now, the pasuk here is talking specifically about selling, a mecher, a sale. The question is, what happens about other kinds of mechanisms by which Stei Achuza is transferred? Do they go back also when it comes to the yovel year or not? So that's what the Mishnah talks about over here. And the first position is the position of Reb Meir, the Tanna Kamma, who says the pasuk is talking about sales, a mechira, and nothing else applies, meaning if you got it in another way, you get to keep it. And therefore the Mishnah says, Elu she'enan chozrim b'yovel, the following means by which a person might have an ancestral plot which doesn't belong to his family or his unfair allocation of it, it doesn't go back when the yovel turns around. So that includes habuchora, a person who got a double portion by virtue of the fact that he's the firstborn son. So, you know, he gets a bigger ancestral plot, portion of the ancestral plot in the family than the rest of his brothers. It stays with him because that's not a mechira, not a sale. V'hayoresh es ishto, if one inherits his wife, meaning his wife, the din is that the only heir to a wife is her husband, assuming she has a husband when she dies. Now, there's a machlokas tanaim, whether that's a din deraisa or derabanan. The Tana Kama here holds that it's actually a deraisa, that the husband inherits his wife by force of deraisa, and therefore doesn't have to give it back. He inherits the land, he gets to keep it. Just pointing out here that that really be the most like egregious issue in terms of losing ancestral plots, because here you have a situation where essentially a man from Shevet Reuven could marry a woman from Shevet Shimon, and then when she dies, essentially Shimon's collective property transfers over to someone in Reuven. So Shimon's like kind of losing ground. But that's how it works, and doesn't go back because on a mechira, says Reb Meir. V'hamayabim es eishas achiv. Similarly, we saw in the previous Mishnah that a person does yibum, kind of steps into his brother's shoes when he marries his widow, and therefore if he ends up getting a bigger portion than his other brothers because he gets an allocation that his brother's going to get, or that did get. So then, too bad, he gets to keep it. And finally, v'hamatana, if a person gifts, he gives away his Stei Achuza, his ancestral plot, well, he gave it away, he doesn't get it back again. The pasuk said a mecha, there's not a mecha, it's on a sale. That's Ziv Rabbi Meir. V'chacham omrim that a matana kamecha, the chacham argue, they say, listen, the truth is that a gift has the same status as being a sale. Now, the reason for that is because they have a drasha. Their drasha ends up, it's like old drasha is technical, but the point is they learn from an extra word that included in those ancestral plots, which return back to their original families and owners, is not just a sale, but also a gift. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kulan Chozun B'Yovel. Rabbi Eliezer takes the other extreme from Rabbi Meir and says, these things are all treated the same way that a sale is treated. He also has a drasha about the notion of a mechar, of a gift, but he says that the double portion that a bechor gets, or the portion that a fellow gets by doing yibum, have the stat, and what he gets from through his wife, have the status of being a gift, equivalent, halacha equivalent to a gift, and therefore goes back. As far as the inheritance from the wife goes, he actually holds that he takes the opinion that the inheritance that one gets when one inherits his wife is a din derabanan, therefore for sure it should go back. That's his position. Again, that's the machlokas tanaim. Okay. So just speaking it out, just to speak out the obvious, this will end up causing all sorts of complicated halachic, like logistical problems, we'll call them. Logistical problems, because, you know, 50 years down the way, a guy who was a Bechor, or his grandfather was a Bechor, has to essentially re-divvy up his plots with his cousins. Okay, that's going to obviously be logistically challenging, but the point is that's the din, according to Rabbi Eliezer. In fact, that is the din lahalacha, as I'll sum up in the end. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Hayoresh es Ishto Yachzir Livnei HaMishpacha, V'yinak Alehem Min Adamim. So now, before I translate this, let me explain what's happening here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he says, listen, a person inherits his wife midoraisa. Nevertheless, the rabbis got involved and said, that can bring up like sort of a travesty. His wife's family, you know, has this ancestral plot where they've been burying their, you know, relatives for who knows generations. And now it's kind of come into the backyard of some other guy from another shev in a different family. Now all of a sudden they have to bury their dead in someone else's backyard or not have a place to bury their dead anymore. That's terrible. And because of that, the rabbi said, the man who inherits his wife, if including what he inherits is an ancestral burial grounds, he must return the ancestral burial grounds to like the other family. Now, since midoraisa, it's really his by rights, so he doesn't have to give it away. He essentially could sell it. He could be compensated. So that means if the burial plot he inherited from his wife, that land is worth $1 million, he can say, listen, I'm giving you back your family burial plot, but you have to give me $1 million. But Rabbi Yochanan Baroka says there is one limitation, one, you know, a slight deduction. Since midorabanan, a person has a requirement to bury his wife. That's a requirement. You have to pay for that. So therefore, the land that the husband used to bury his wife, those costs have to be deducted from his reimbursement, from what he gets compensated for. In other words, if it costs, you know, $10,000 for a burial plot, and so therefore when he goes to his, you know, his in-laws' family and says, listen, here's the ancestral plot inherited from my wife, so your, you know, whatever it is, your niece or your cousin or something, so he says, listen, it's worth $1 million, but it costs $10,000 to bury a woman, and I buried a woman here, which is my responsibility, and therefore you have to pay me a total of $990,000. That's the gist of what he's saying here. Now, there's no mention in the Mishnah of ancestral plots. That's so the Gemara understands it. So just I'll read you the words, and I'll show you sort of with your pencil where you stick it in. It simply says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Hayoresh es Ishto, one who inherits his wife, Yachzir Livnei Mishpacha, he returns it to the members of the family, meaning one who inherits the ancestral plot of his wife's family, he must return that part of it to his wife's family. V'yinakeh lehem min adamim, and he deducts from what he gets reimbursed and compensated for giving back that ancestral land, which is by rights his, even midoraisa by rights his, but he must deduct from his reimbursement whatever it cost to bury his own wife, since that was his separate obligation. Now, halacha, the Rambam paskins, essentially, that everything goes back, which is pretty surprising. The Rambam holds that the Bechor has to re-put back his portion of the Stei Achuza, ancestral plots. It's limited. We're not talking about things like houses inside walled cities and stuff like that. No, it's got limitations, but the bottom line is, and we're not talking about giving back the cash that was in the bank account that he keeps, but the ancestral lands, he must do a true-up when Yovel comes around and like re-figure it out so that the brothers get equally apportioned ancestral land of their families in the long run. Okay. Similarly, the Yavam, who got extra portion, must write things, and the one who gifts gets it back. Now, as far as one who inherits his wife, so the Rambam paskens that the husband inheriting his wife is actually a din derabanan, not a deraisa. Therefore, it would stand to reason that for sure the wife's family should get back an ancestral plot that only was only derabanan inherited by the husband in the first place. But the Rambam paskens that, as the rabbis do in many places, they wanted to strengthen their words and sort of say, when we said the husband inherits his wife, we meant it. And therefore, because they want to sort of reinforce their din derabanan, the rabbi said that husband's inheritance of his wife's lands stays and does not get returned in the Yovel. That's the Rambam paskens. Period.